You are listening to a sermon by Reverend Clifford Reinhardt, recorded on Sunday, April 24, 2022, at Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Why do we believe? Why do I believe? Why do you believe? And just what do we believe? When I consider that question, I cannot help but think of a novel by the American-Canadian author John Irving. The book, which I think is his best, is A Prayer for Owen Meany. It was published back in 1989. Here's how the book starts. I am doomed to remember a boy with a wrecked voice, not because of his voice or because he is the smallest person I ever knew, or even because he was the instrument of my mother's death, but because he is the reason I believe in God. I am a Christian because of Owen Meany. I make no claims to have a life in Christ or with Christ, and certainly not for Christ, which I've heard some zealots claim. The narrator goes on to explain that he attends church fairly regularly, but then he adds, I skip a Sunday service now and again. I make no claims to be especially pious. I have a church rummage faith, the kind that needs patching up every weekend. What faith I have, I owe to Owen Meany, a boy I grew up with. It is Owen who made me a believer. I've got to say, I have some mixed feelings about such a faith. On the one hand, I thank God for those who have gone before me and those who are currently around me, who encourage me, who encourage faith in me. After all, we are called into a community of faith, a community that transcends time and space, a gathering of the saints that knows no bounds. The community is tremendously helpful to me and to every individual in it. We share our Christian faith, which is especially important when one or more of us is struggling in faith. On the other hand, I'm troubled by this confession of faith. The narrator says, what faith I have, I owe to Owen Meany, a boy I grew up with. It is Owen who made me a believer. Now, you'd have to read on in the novel to understand this more thoroughly, but a statement like this, taken for what it is, sounds to me like it's the faith that is described is a borrowed faith. It's not really one's own faith. It's a faith that depends upon the faith of another person. Well, why do we believe? And just what is it that we believe? Those are the questions that are prompted for me when I read today's gospel lesson. Thomas, one of the 12, was not with his brothers and sisters. So when the resurrected Jesus first appeared to the gathered disciples, so when the others told him that they had seen the Lord, he said to them, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. Just what is it that Thomas cannot believe? It sounds to me like Thomas cannot believe that the person who appeared to the disciples behind locked doors was the man who was crucified to death and was buried a few days previous. Or to put it in specifically biblical terms, he cannot believe that Jesus of Nazareth was resurrected from the dead. He effectively says that he requires proof in order for him to believe. Now, let's take note of something here. Proof is a requirement of the law. Jesus was tried and condemned under the law. I have to say that it's disturbing to see the persistence of the law with respect to the death and now even the resurrection of Jesus. On the other hand, this shouldn't surprise us. Law is built into the old creation. Since Jesus came among us to deliver righteousness apart from the law, Jesus's crucifixion is simply inevitable in any time or any place. Thus, Thomas, laboring under the law, has been immortalized in Christian culture as Doubting Thomas. When Jesus appears among them again a week later, with Thomas also present this time, after greeting them all in peace, the first thing Jesus says, he says to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And then Thomas, the one who notoriously doubts, utters the highest confession of Christian faith in the entire Bible. He says to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Now, did Thomas actually reach out and touch the wounds of the exalted body of the resurrected Christ? St. John doesn't tell us. If he actually did, then he was truly and irrevocably caught in the grip of the law. But surely his confession of faith was prompted by the voice of the resurrected Jesus, who spoke directly to his unbelief. Thomas heard the voice of Jesus, and he believed. Why do we believe? Why do I believe? Why do you believe? We might cite any number of reasons. Ultimately, though, we get the definitive reason from this episode and others in the gospel story. When the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ visited the disciples the first time without Thomas, Jesus spoke to them and breathed upon them the Holy Spirit. That's why they believed. They needed the voice of promise, together with the faith-creating power of the Spirit, in order to believe. Thomas wasn't there, so he did not hear the word. He did not receive the gift of the Spirit. Thus, he did not, could not believe. It took a second appearance from the resurrected Lord, his divine insight into Thomas's condition, and his instruction for him to not doubt but believe. It took all that for Thomas to believe. And when he does believe, he utters the highest confession of Christian faith in the church. Living generations later, you and I have the advantage of the Spirit. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, God poured out the Holy Spirit upon all people. Many still do not believe. But those who indeed come to faith do so by the power of the Spirit, coupled with the word of promise. The word of promise now embodied in and voiced by those who tell good news. And that is why we believe. Here is how I put it in my own words. I believe that I cannot believe. I confess that the Lord must do it all, simply because I am not capable of doing anything to contribute to my redemption. It's the Holy Spirit that calls me, provides me the gift of faith, and keeps me in that faith. Now, there are times when it seems it's easier to believe, like when you and I are gathered with like-minded, caring people on a Sunday morning to receive the good news in word and sacrament, or when we are in the embrace of a loving, believing family or group of friends. In other circumstances, it may be harder to believe, like in a workplace infected with disrespect and mean-spiritedness, or when we suffer devastating and senseless loss, or when we are isolated by something like a pandemic and health safety protocols. At such times, we may indeed benefit from the witness and encouragement of others who believe, just as the narrator in John Irving's novel thanked Owen Meany for his faith. But I know that I cannot borrow the righteousness of faith from someone else. I believe that I, with all my creaturely powers of understanding and reason, I believe that I cannot believe. Instead, the Holy Spirit produces faith in me through the ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ. The Lord simply must do it all. That is God's claim upon us in Christ, and that is our only hope. Because of the Spirit breathed upon us by the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, we believe. Together with Thomas and a myriad of saints ever since his time, we believe. Authorized by Jesus Christ, we proclaim good news. We pronounce the promise that comes to us from some time beyond time, forgiven, redeemed, saved. Dear friends, take up this life with courage and confidence. Christ is risen. Peace be with you all.